Thank you, Brother Campbell, for the words of introduction. And it's good to be back with you here again this evening in Kilkeel and to renew fellowship once again with the saints here. There's two things that I want to do this evening. First of all, I want to bring a word from the Lord. I think that's always important. It was a wicked man in the Bible who asked the question, is there any word from the Lord? But the wickedness of the man that asked the question doesn't affect the question. And if even a wicked man could ask a question like that, then how much more the child of God? So I want to do that first, turning to Joshua chapter 13. And then after we have looked for this word, then I'll bring a little report and update what's happening. Thank you for having me along this evening. And it's good to come, as I have said. Joshua chapter 13, we're going to read from the verse 1 down to the end of the verse 6. Joshua chapter 13, and commencing our reading at the verse 1. Now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. This is the land that yet remaineth, all the borders of the Philistines, and all Geshurai, from Sihor, which is before Egypt, even unto the borders of Akron northward, which is counted to the Canaanite, five lords of the Philistines, the Gazathites and the Ashdothites, the Ashkelonites, the Gittites, and the Akronites, also the Avites. From the south, all the land of the Canaanites, and the Merah, which is beside the Sidonians, on the Aphek, to the borders of the Amorites, and the land of the Giblites, and all Lebanon toward the sun rising, from Baal-Gad under Mount Hermon, unto the entering into Hamath. All the inhabitants of the hill country from Lebanon on the Misrephoth Maim, and all the Sidonians, them will I drive out from before the children of Israel. Only divide thou it by lot unto the Israelites for an inheritance, as I have commanded thee. And we'll end the reading at the verse 6, and as ever, we look to the Lord to bless the public reading of his word. Let's seek his face, please, for a moment in prayer. Our heavenly Father, we thank you for the meeting thus far, the singing of these lovely hymns of a missionary kind, reminding us, Lord, of the great central truth of all gospel preaching, that Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Indeed, Lord, we believe that the whole of the Bible, if it were to be summarized, all those 66 books and 31,000 verses, Lord, were to be just reduced down to two words, Lord, we were singing them tonight, that Jesus saves. We need your help, Lord, to preach the word. The arm of flesh will surely fail, and we dare not trust our own. But we thank you for the promises of God. Think of the words of Micah, or when he blasted those false prophets of his day, how weak they were, he was able to say, but I am full of power. And may your power be manifest tonight, even in this gallery, first and foremost upon the preacher of the word, but upon the listener too, that we might have an ear to hear, Lord, what the Spirit is saying to us. Hear and answer prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It's the words of verse 1 that we want to think about. It says, Now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years. And then here's where we're going to concentrate tonight. There remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. It seems to me that we can never say in the work of God that we are nearly there now. It may be in certain projects that we can say that. Large projects, the building of a church, putting up of a building, extending a building. You have the early days when it's been discussed and prayed over. You've all the paperwork, the bureaucracy to sort out. And then you lay the foundations, and the walls go up, the roof goes on, and then inside, all nicely decorated. And then you have the great day of opening. And you can say then, we started this project, and now we have it finished. Or maybe it's just a small project. Maybe there's a certain area of town or a certain village nearby, and we want to evangelize there. And it may take just a number of weeks. And at the end of that, you can look back and you can say, well, we knocked every door. We put a tract in. If there was nobody about, we have reached that village or that area for the Saviour. But when it comes to the big picture, the work of God at large, we do not have the required knowledge to say that we are nearly there. In our passage, we meet a man called Joshua. And Joshua had seen a great work done for God. As a young man, of course, he had led the Israelites into the land of Canaan. He was the great general, the great military leader. His name is still revered in Israel today, even though Israel today is a secular state and many are atheistic and no thought of God. But his name is revered. And he watched the great cities in the land of Canaan fall before his mighty armies. He watched Jericho, no doubt an exaggeration, but it had been walled up to the very heavens, a most secure city. He saw it conquered. He saw Ai conquered. They all fell to his conquering armies. But now when we come to verse 13, and it's emphasized there, Joshua is old and stricken in years. And if he had been entertaining thoughts in these twilight years of his life that it was job accomplished, then the Lord forced him to think again. Because what he's saying to him there in reality is this: Joshua, the work has barely begun. There yet remaineth much land to be possessed. Now there's a number of ways in which we could look at that. Depending on our circumstances, there's a number of ways we could apply that. But tonight, of course, being a deputation meeting, it gives us leeway without straining Scripture, without resting Scripture. We have no right to do that. But to look at this text through a particular set of lenses that would be most fitting for the occasion. The first thing that we want to see, number one, this evening is that the amount of land to be possessed is determined by God. The amount of land to be possessed has been determined by God. The borders have been drawn. And the map maker, the border maker, was God himself. We know that it was the Lord who was the Lord who gave Israel the land. In the Psalm 44, they, and he hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. And in this passage, he was pleased in and of himself without dependence or committing. Then the taking of the land to be possessed. Musk's 10, the Saviour spoke these words. You remember what he said, other sheep I have that are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And if you're in the habit of marking your Bible, if you highlight it or you draw little boxes or asterisks or whatever way you underline and draw attention to the verse, then if you do that, I suggest to you that you underline or whatever the word must. Them also I must bring. You should never lose sight of that word must. You wouldn't tamper with any other musts of the Bible. You wouldn't tamper with John 3:7 where Jesus said, ye must be born again. You can't go to a sinner and say, well, you know, there's this new birth, but if it doesn't suit you, we'll get some other way for you. No, ye must be born again. You wouldn't tamper with John 3:14 where it said that the Saviour must be lifted up. It Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Because we can't bypass the cross, can we? Paul said he determined to know nothing among the people save Christ and him crucified. And just as we won't tamper with these other musts, let us not tamper with this must today. There are other sheep that are not of this fold. That means, in the words of the hymn writer, they're out in the mountains wild and bare, away from the tender shepherd's care. And those sheep must be brought. The amount of land to be possessed is determined by God. The amount of land, number two, to be possessed was yet very much, very much. You see, these other sheep that the Lord has who are not of this fold and they must be brought, they are described in two different ways in the Bible. They are described, first of all, by the words, a chosen few, broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many there be that go in there, many that be that go therein. But there's this narrow path, straight and narrow, and few there be that find it. Again, Matthew 22, verse 14, it says, "For many are called." That's the outward call of the gospel. That's the evangelism. That's the open air meetings. That's the gospel mission. That's the tracts being printed. The Bible's handed out. The one-to-one witnessing. The door-to-door evangelism. Many are called. Few. That's the language of Scripture. Few are chosen. And yet this chosen few is also called at one and the same time a great multitude that no man can number. You and I do not have access to the Lamb's Book of Life. Remember how Paul wrote of one whose name was written in the Lamb's Book, because that man had professed faith, and Paul was taking him at his word, as it were. He had professed faith, the sure evidence of being in the Lamb's Book of Life. But beyond that, we cannot go. And therefore, we are to view each and every one that we meet as potentially elect. Who would have put Saul of Tarsus among the elect? You know, the Free Presbyterians, had it been back in the days of Saul, I can remember prayers in the Free Church way back long ago, and some of the most blood-curdling prayers were offered up for people. And you can imagine if the Apostle Paul was running, or Saul of Tarsus, to give him his pre-conversion title, was running riot against us. What awful prayers might have been offered for that man, offered against him. We pray that God would blow upon, that used to be a favourite one, "Lord, blow upon your enemies." And boy, we nearly had this man prayed into hell, but he was one of the elect of God. And there came the time when God did move. He didn't move against him. He moved for him. He got him stopped in that road to Damascus, and he converted him by grace. And this was a cause of great marvel. The difficulty getting him into a local fellowship, because the people thought this was a trick, that this was a ploy. But he really was converted of God. And sometimes in evangelism you get days of great revival and you get a lot of people saved. There might be a great mission and a lot of people converted and added daily onto the church. And we might think of the great revival, of course, in Ulster in 1859, 100,000 people, it is estimated, in that great year of grace, brought into the kingdom of God. And then there are other times when it has to be said that the tide is out. And it seems when you're ploughing in concrete, the ground is barren and dry. But still, even when the ground is barren and dry, even when it's hard to get people even interested in coming to missions and sitting on a Sunday night under the word, let us never, ever, ever have a limited vision. You see, we're not in the driving seat here. And our guiding star It's not the decree of God. That's in the background. That's God's business. It belongs unto him. But unto us and our children belong the things that are revealed. That's the word of God. That's the scriptures. And the clear commandments of God. Now, when the Bible says to us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, when the Bible tells us to go and teach all nations whatsoever things the Lord has commanded us, does that not suggest to you, to go back to our text, there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed? You see, even though you can look at places in the map now, or you can get that little, and there one of the books that gives you all the details, and we say, yes, there's churches here, there, and yonder. Just because you can put a little flag on a map, just because you can put a little star on a map, maybe a missionary's photograph beside it, does not mean that everywhere has been conquered. It's ever an ongoing work. So we see here, first of all, the amount of land to be possessed is determined by God. And then there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. Notice thirdly here, the land was to be possessed. It was to be possessed. And that means then, as if we think about the land of Canaan here, which of course is the immediate context, that meant dispossessing others. That meant putting other people out of their homes. These were people who had worked the land. These are people who had sown the vineyards. People who had built the great cities. And now the Lord came along and gave them a notice to quit. You need to get out of the land because I'm going to put my people here. This is the promised land. This is for Israel. And when you have the conversion of a soul, when there is the great aim of the evangelism, of course, is the making of disciples. It is a raiding of Satan's kingdom. The devil holds people captive at his will. This is referred to in the Bible as the powers of darkness. You remember the parable, again, thinking back to prayer meetings. It's often prayed about in prayer meetings. There we have a half hour before the evangelistic meeting, don't we? And we get together in the back room and we start to pray. And invariably, somebody's going to pray that the strong man will be bound. And that's a reference to the parable. Where the strong man had all his goods well secured within his home. And in order to get in and to get those goods out, the strong man had to be bound. And that, of course, is a reference to the devil. It's a reference to the devil. And when you take the gospel and evangelism and you preach Christ and him crucified, and you set forth the tremendous truths of the gospel of Christ, that is the power of God unto salvation, we are going in and we are taking possession of the land. We're going in to rescue people, to bring them out from the power of the evil one. Souls are being delivered from the guilt and power of sin. Liberty is being proclaimed to the captives because it's the truth. The gospel truth that sets men free. And if the Son sets them free, the Bible says they're free indeed. Oh, this is what the Bible calls possessing the land. We have not come to visit. We have not come just to look round us. We have not come to advise or merely exhort. No, there's a declaration of war here. It's a declaration of war on the devil and his allies. And we have the highest authority to do so. Because you're back to the sovereignty of God. You see, the devil is called the God of this world. But he's just a de facto God. They're all worshiping him. They're all serving him. But it's not his by any right. It's not his by any right. You remember when he came to the Savior and he says, if you bow down and you worship me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of this world. That was a cheek. He had no right to give them. They didn't belong to him anyway. They weren't his to give, because the Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. This land is to be possessed. Fourthly here, human infirmity is no excuse. not to get involved. Joshua here, it says, we emphasize it there twice in that verse 1. He was old and stricken in years. All those times he spent in the battlefield and the great pressures on him and camping out at night and so on, it all had a great effect upon him. Now he's old and stricken in years. Moses before him at that age, well, seemed to have been in better shape and condition. His natural force was not abated. But you couldn't say that of Joshua. And yet, Joshua here was informed and he could still contribute. You see, here was a man who could recount previous blessings. You can read the book of Joshua there. It's thrilling reading. And we need to remind ourselves when we read the book of Joshua and similar books and the great biographies of the saints, even to move strictly outside the scripture, but those great events of old, that God hasn't changed. The whole society has changed. You might even say to a certain extent the church has changed. But God is still in heaven. And here's a man here who could recount the previous blessings. It must have been thrilling to sit with him, maybe visit him in a pastoral way and say, Joshua, tell us again about that. Going round Jericho, what did it really feel like to march round Jericho and just to blow the trumpet, go round it once and then come back the next day and then on that last time, go round it 7 times and just stand back and see that great wall collapse. And all he could recall it. He could give advice and counsel. It might well be that he's bedridden at this time, but he was still a great general. I would say his mind was still active. He could give advice. He had much to say in a practical way, not just remembering the old days, getting a little nostalgic, but oh, he could still give up the dead advice on what to do. This land had still to be possessed. And he could talk to the people and give them advice on how to go about it. He could encourage and exhort. What power lies in the proper use of the tongue. The Bible says a word that is fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. The commentators are not so sure what that means. But when you have gold and you have silver, you have something that is of great value. And that's what a word fitly spoken. Just a little word. We sing that, don't we? Speak just a word for Jesus. And a word fitly spoken. Bible says, oh, how good it is. And he could do something else. He could pray. What power there lies in prayer. He could lift up his voice to God in the secret place and say, Lord, you've told me there yet much land to be possessed. That means there's still much prayer for me to offer. The Bible says, of course, we're all infirm. We're all stricken in one way or another. None of us are supermen. We're hindered by the flesh, in me that is, in my flesh, said the great apostle, there dwelleth no good things. No, often our circumstances could limit us, and yet we're not to think, God forbid, that we should give up. Because the Lord spoke to Joshua for a reason. Brothers and sisters, tonight the Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. But they are spiritual, mighty through God to the pulling down of the strongholds. That's really gone back, isn't it, to Joshua? The bringing down of the great cities. There's still much land to be possessed. The Bible says the gospel of the kingdom must be preached to all the nations. And then shall the end come. So it's something that's going to take right up to the end of time. And thankfully, as we face up to our responsibilities, we're not asked to do it in our own strength. All human skill is vain. Just can't throw money at this. Just can't throw manpower at this. Just can't rally up crowds and send them out. No, it must be of God. We need the Lord to work. And our little part that we can do is to say very simply, Lord, here am I. Here am I. Send me. Send me. Because God, although he is sovereign in all his ways, God uses means. And I'm glad that he takes the weakest things, the things that are not, to bring to naught the things that are. What a great privilege it is for us all as God's people. The Lord has not only redeemed us, he has recruited us, brought us into his vineyard. And you find your little place, work for the Lord, you in your small corner, I in mine. And then we can see this land possessed for the Lord. May God give us the grace to say, here am I, send me, send me. Thank you for having me along tonight, and not only for the opportunity to come here, but also to thank you for the support that we have been receiving, not only received, but receiving from the church here in Kilkeel. I was just looking over my deputation notes here, and I was thinking the last I was here, I think in the pulpit, was in Easter time. So that's just roughly about a year ago. And I was able to relate to you then. I don't want to go over it again, how the work has just evolved a little bit because of the COVID situation. I'm trying to get rid of that word. Nobody likes that word anymore. We're trying to put it all behind us, aren't we? But we told that story there back in Easter, and it has effectively meant that our brother Noel Shields and myself are working together, particularly over the winter months. I was with Noel today. We're knocking the doors at the moment for a mission in Parkinor, in the manor house in Parkinor, just outside Dungannon. Brother Noel had a mission there about four years ago, I think 2018, so 4 or 5 years ago, 2019. And we have been asked back to evangelize there again. So we've been in Castle Caulfield. We were there yesterday, and then we've got out into the countryside today. And we'll have a map of all the various roads. And again, there remaineth yet much land to be possessed as far as the little map is concerned. They still had the old map from the last time. Noel did it all on his own. But now there's two of us, so hopefully we'll get it done a little bit quicker. Since we were last here, we had a mission just a while ago in Newcastle. Some folk from Kilkeel here came down and supported that. It was in the primary school in Newcastle. And Mr. Horace, Minister Van Along there, he said to me, brother, that you were able to get this school is a miracle. So we had the preaching of the word there in Newcastle. And then we went from Newcastle, we went to the Shankill Road, and we had a mission there in John Knox. We're going back to John Knox again in the month of May. And so that's just a year on. And as it was a year ago, you had all the political posters up all over the place. Well, they reckon there's going to be another election, of course, for the council about May. So we're back more or less in the same circumstances. The little work in the Shankill, of course, is vacant at the moment. Brother Woods has received a call and accepted it to labour in Carrick. So maybe the meetings will be very small in the Shankill. There weren't particularly great crowds attending last time, but unsaved come in. And so whether you're preaching to few or you're preaching to many, you just preach. That's up to the Lord. There's some things you have to leave to the Lord. You knock the doors, you do what you can, but it's up to the Lord to bring the people in. So we had Newcastle with the Shankill. We then went on to Garva, and we had a mission up in Garva. Again, a small congregation, but we were able to go out in the outreach a week beforehand, knock all the doors in the town and surrounding areas, and give in literature and invite people along. When we got to the summer months, Noel and I part company, and he's worked to do round Mourne here, and that's my opportunity for heading south of the border again, and back down to Knock, and also to preaching in Dublin. I enjoy going to two different places. Knock, very religious. You kind of go back about 50 or 60 years in time when you go to Knock. It's the last bastion really of Romanism in Ireland. When you go to Dublin, it's a different ball game because it's very secular, very atheistic, a little bit more aggressive. But nevertheless, one place or another, Christ is preached, and therein we rejoice. Now, I used to have a little camper van, and it has gone to ground. Well, we got a good use out of it, and the mission board very kindly replaced it with a new vehicle. And so we're still able to open up the side of it, have a little bit of a booklet display. And again, people will come. Part of the furniture now over in Knock, I've no bother with anybody in Knock. And people come and chat, and priests and nuns and pilgrims, different people coming along, tourists, able to spread the message of the gospel. We had the mission there recently there, and we met up again in the autumn. Noel got an extra month out of it. He went to Uganda, gave me a little bit more time in the south. When we come back, we had a good mission up in Ballynahinch. And the church in Ballynahinch was buzzing before we went for the mission. They were really enthusiastic about the mission. Men out with us in the doors and so on. And we had a 2-week mission there. Again, great spirit in the meetings. And they were still buzzing afterwards. So certainly of encouragement for God's people. And then we went up to Londonderry. Londonderry was hard ground. We don't think anybody unsaved gathered in. Of course, you're in the city. The city mentality can be often different to the countryside. We got Christmas over. We went to Marilyn, to the Orange Hall. We were there for a week. In between missions, we were doing some open-air work. And we were in Lurgan. And a man came up to know myself in Lurgan. And a believer, very encouraging, great to see you fellows along. We need more street preaching and so on. And Noel said, where are you from? Are you from the town here? He said, no, I'm from Marilyn. So Noel said, what he invariably says, you name any hole in the hedge in Ulster. I did a mission there one time, and a man was saved. And that's why he says, well, that's tremendous. You have to come back for another one. And that was in the month of November. And we got things passed with a session in our Lurgan church that we're going to trump maybe in plans that they had. We were there for a week in the January. One of my regrets, and of course it's all subject to the will of God, was that we didn't say 2 weeks. Tremendous support because different people were involved in it. We had our own people, Lurgan people really supported it. The Christians among the Orange Lodge, it was in the Orange Hall, they were very enthusiastic as well, and it was great to preach the word of God. So we were there in Marilyn, and I'm just looking here where else we went after Marilyn. We are now in Parkinore. We're doing the mission there, and then next month we're going to the Isle of Man. So we'll be there for 2 weeks, door-to-door evangelism for a week, and then hope to get the people in. Now, the work in the Isle of Man is very small. Okay, I think you have about 6 people. So maybe not again one of our bigger missions. But you're back to the same thought. Well, where it's a lot of people, or just a few, you just take it as it comes. And you just get into the pulpit, you sing the hymns, you preach the gospel of Christ. Come back to John Knox, as we said, then in May. We'll split up for a little while again. In the autumn time, in the will of God, Noel's gone up to preach on his own up in Resharkin. And at the same time, I was approached to preach on my own in Kilskerry. So even the way that that has worked out, there'll be a week of gospel meetings preceded by the evangelism. And then again in Achillea, there will be a mission later on, and that'll take us up to the end of the year. If we have a free week, there'll be open-air evangelism, going round different towns and preaching the gospel. We've also involvement with the ploughing championships. We were able to get back again after that little break that we all had, and it was good to go back and get the tent up. Getting harder every year. used to be, there was a time when over 30,000 calendars were going out. People were queuing up to get them. But just not the same interest anymore now. But still, over a three-day period, 15,000 calendars went out. People still coming into the tent, the old cup of tea and the bun, still a big attraction. And you set them down and you talk and where you're from and so on. Well, this is what we're about. You can see the text of Scripture. You have a literature table. And it's good to preach the gospel of Christ. I believe they're going back to the Balmore show again this year. And then there's also the involvement with the Consider Christ. Getting very near Dublin. They went down there a few weeks ago. The whole town, Selbridge, was covered. Some 7,000 homes. And a carload of us went down on the Monday night. And out of a town of 7,000 houses, not one person come in. Not one. Oh, what hard hearts there are. Devil blinded them by the devil and held captive at his will. Blinded by the God of this world. It's very easy just for the head to go down, isn't it? Very easy to grow weary and well-doing. But that's when you lift up your eyes to the hills from whence doth come a rain. And you think of that verse of Scripture that we emphasized. Our sheep I have that are not yet of this fold, them also I must bring. If they must be brought, then brought the will. So we leave that in God's hands. And again, thank you for your prayers. Please continue to pray for, I suppose, both Noel and myself as we work together. We get on well together. You know Noel, the way he is and the way I am. As somebody says, we're both peas out of the one pod. I'm not sure how to take that. But nevertheless, we got on well together, and certainly it's been a great encouragement to me in my ministry. Now, we come to a little bit at the end that you're familiar with, but I must mention it, and that is the prayer card. Now, you probably have this prayer card because I just went for a reprint. And I went for a reprint for a very good reason. You get to a place in your life where the photographer is no longer your friend. Okay, it's not his fault, it's the photograph's fault. So we're at that place. They give you a bus pass about the same age just to help you get over that. So you might already have this, but if you don't take one, it's first and foremost a prayer card, but it's also, if you want to support on a monthly basis, well, you know what to do. You fill in the side there and you give it to Glenda. And you don't even have to post it down here in Kilkeel. You just form an orderly queue outside Glenda's office, all right? And if you feel led to support us, well then, you do that. So thank you for praying for us, and also for praying for Olive. As you know, Olive's health situation, the big picture again, isn't particularly bright, but she's doing well, keeping well. And every day we thank God. And the amount of people that are still praying, it is certainly very, very moving and encouraging to us. So that's it. And thank you again for all your support. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.